am a poor wayfaring stranger. I have no home, I have no rest. I am just going over yonder. I am just going home at last. I am a poor,
I am a poor,
wayfaring stranger.
Wayfaring stranger.
Thank you so much.
Laura, love.
Great. Thank you.
Love thing.
That was so much fun.
Rob Cook on guitar.
Hello and welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. Today's program includes Scott Horton interviews Michael Shorer from January 7th, 2010. Michael Shorer discusses why he thinks the Al-Qaeda threat will continue to grow, why the United States occupies Muslim countries, and how the United States' disengagement from the Middle East will allow Muslims to concentrate on their own considerable internal problems. And then after that, Scott Horton interviews Jeff Huber from November 26, 2009. Jeff Huber discusses the fall of sending additional troops to support the corrupt Karzai regime. And following that, Field Notes from a Catastrophe, Man, Nature, and Climate Change by Elizabeth Colbert.
And is that what you were going to say before I interrupted you there?
No, the only thing I wanted to say is I would really encourage you to listen to the things I say. I tried to be consistent across the board, and I would appreciate people telling me if I wasn't. But I laid out for Lou Dobbs on the radio yesterday afternoon just precisely what you and I talked about tonight. So I do try to be consistent.
Well, that's good, and I appreciate it. And I know that everybody can't agree with me on everything, and I think you're, certainly the I agree with the vast majority of what you say. Have you changed your mind at all about the torture issue? I mean, that thing you wrote in the Washington Post just sent my hackles up so bad. We discussed this a little bit in the case of the Detroit thing, but you're the guy who says, and has always said, Bin Laden himself refers people to you and your book to say, the reason they attack us is because of what we do to them. And of course, torture is among the biggest parts of that. I mean, Ayman al-Zawahiri and Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, for example, neither of them were terrorists until after they were tortured. Mike?
I can't agree with you more on this, but I support it until we find a way to defend ourselves. You cannot strip away the things that are effective to some degree until you have something to replace them.
Yeah, Obama, but I mean, are they even effective? Doesn't the FBI always do better interrogating these guys than beating them against the wall?
You have to be a little bit careful. The idea that Obama would say anything except that the FBI is being successful with the underwear bomber is impossible.
I'm thinking of The Dark Side by Jane Mayer, where the FBI was doing pretty good, and then the CIA came in and started torturing them.
Well, that's, of course, the FBI story, isn't it? And that's the story that always prevails, because they can't do law enforcement very well, but they do public relations very well.
Well, I certainly agree with that. But I mean, do you really think that beating it out of some guy? Well, I mean, hey, they brought you out of the library and back to Alex Station after September 11th. I mean, were you involved in this? Were you the head analyst while people were being tortured and you're getting information out of them?
Yes.
And were you in the room for that, or you're over the live link, or what?
Not in the room, but I was involved in providing questions and examining the evidence or the information that was passed back to us, yes.
And you think that it works great?
I don't think that it works great. What I'm saying is that what are you going to do if you don't do it? If you have a military that is incapable of winning a war and defending you, as this military has proven to be, if you have a president that is unwilling to even level with the American people about what the war is about, then what do you do?
The torture is what made the insurgency. That's what Matthew Alexander says.
Well, he's defending his one success in life. They killed Zarqawi. Well, good. I'm glad they killed him.
But he said that every insurgent that he talked to said that they were there because of the pictures of Guantanamo and of Abu Ghraib.
Well, what the hell do you think they would say? They're taught to mislead, and they're taught to fight the war from the cell. Scott, I would rather kill them all on the battlefield. I wouldn't want to capture one of them, but if you capture them, you're going to have to use them. The idea is we have chosen as the greatest power in the world to fight this war with renditions, interrogations, the Predator, and the Special Forces. Traditionally, those things are what complement a military effort. They're not the military effort. And right now, we're just being outclassed by the enemy across the board. We had that idiot in Kabul yesterday say that we don't need to collect intelligence against the people who are attacking us and killing us. We need to collect information about how the Afghan farmers live and the rest of it, so we can build a nation here. At some point, somebody has to stand up for America.
Yeah. Well, but see, and then that gets down to the root of things again, too, is what is America anyway? I mean, the whole thing about America from the get-go is it's right there in Amendment Number 5 and in Amendment Number 8. No torture.
Well, of course, but when the people who wrote those, they never assumed that the President of the United States would be unwilling to defend his country using the military. Never. Do you think Washington would have blanched at wiping out whatever enemy attacked us on 9/11 or any of the other presidents? It's a modern phenomenon.
Yeah, but what is it doing to our society? I mean, what's worth preserving when we all become a bunch of barbarians who are willing to tie somebody up and then beat them up? I mean, that's not America. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. What would Ron Paul say about that, man? You tie a guy up and then you beat him up, Mike.
Well,
that's America?
That's a sorry excuse for national defense, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, but I mean,
well,
damn, what's worth defending if that's what we do?
You can't have it both ways, Scott. If you're not going to do these things, and I wish we weren't, then you're going to have to go out there and kill the enemy. And the idea that you can do it with precision weapons and only kill one or two people is insane.
I'm sorry, because now I'm confused again. You don't want to bomb Yemen, though, because that'd be an absolute disaster, right? You don't.
You don't want to put boots on the ground. You want to avoid any more engagement. But if you can find somebody in Yemen who you think is responsible for that almost attack on Christmas Day, then let it rip.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I thought that was kind of the criticism before, was that we're willing to go after them with air power, but that doesn't ever really work because you miss when you're at 20,000 feet.
But Yemen is not an important place, Scott, in terms of our future. The future, the thing we need to do is located in Afghanistan. It is where it was located at 9/11. It's where it was located in 1998. All the rest of it is noise if we take care of that.
Okay, so you want boots. You want the Marines to do this on the Afghan-Pakistan border and then call it quits? Is that what you're telling me?
Do it and get out. And you can pull out of Yemen and you can pull out of everywhere else if you solve the Al-Qaeda problem. Let the rest of those people kill themselves till their hearts are content.
And as long as I have you here, do you think that Osama bin Laden is still alive?
Yeah, without question.
Why without question?
At least without question up until the last time he spoke, which was about, 3 months ago now. We're very good technically on voice print, and they do a voice print, and if it didn't match, we would surely hear it. And they match them all the time. We also know that they don't try to hide the deaths of leaders. They never have in the last 12 years. In addition, they would be celebrating, as you know, because he would have embraced martyrdom. Mm-hmm. And more than that, when we talk about the organization provides or prepares for succession. There's somebody ready to take his place.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not sure if I picked that up from you in the first place or not, but that is what I thought, that, you know, it would have been all over TV in Pakistan, that he died and went to heaven and you crumb bums never got him and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I think it'd be as hard to keep the death of a president secret as it would be to keep the death of bin Laden secret.
Well, I guess there are those who say that there were stories back in December of 2001 that he died and it wasn't a secret then, but everybody on the West just decided to ignore it because they wanted to pretend he was still alive.
Well, yeah, I read those stories too, Scott, but you have to at some point accept the evidence that seems available. And I've listened to all of his speeches that I've been able to, and the voice sounds the same, the pictures look the same, the voice prints are the same. You can't operate on the principle that you hope he's dead. I do hope he's dead, but I don't think he is. Hmm. Hoping is what Obama does. I hope thinking is what I do.
Yeah. I'm not too into hope myself. All right. Well, thanks very much. I appreciate your time on the show today, Michael, as always.
Thank you, Scott.
Everybody, that's Michael Scheuer, former chief of the CIA's Bin Laden Unit, Alex Station, and author of Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terrorism and Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. Antiwar.com. I'm Scott Horton. This is Antiwar Radio. All right, y'all. It's Antiwar Radio, Chaos 95.9 FM in Austin, Texas. And our next guest is retired U.S. Navy Commander Jeff Huber. Writes for us pretty much every damn day at Antiwar.com, original.antiwar.com/Huber. And he has his own blog, Pen and Sword, and he's the author of the novel Bathtub Admirals, a lampoon on America's rise to global dominance. Welcome back to the show, Jeff. How are you?
I'm getting over the swine flu.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Huh?
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. No, it sucks.
Oh, I thought you meant just reading about McChrystal in the paper or something.
Oh, no. Well, that's, yeah. That's been depressing, too, but.
Jeez, well, drink lots of water. That's what my mom would say.
Well, your mom would be right.
All right. Well, geez, I don't know how you continue to write so much great stuff while you have the swine flu, but I'm glad that you do.
I go from my bed in the office to the computer.
He's a driven man, ladies and gentlemen.
It's my only activity now. I'm unhappy that I don't get more physical activity, but it's at least... I suppose it's mentally stimulating to read and write about that stuff. The it looks like, from what I see, and I haven't checked in the last 4 hours, that we're going to escalate this war in Afghanistan, which I think is, you know, just a natural disaster.
Yeah, well, the news is that McClatchy yesterday said they're going to send 34,000 troops. CBS had reported, I guess about a week and a half ago, that it was going to be 40,000. But anyway, we're going to see some kind of escalation or another.
34 is the number I've seen the most of.
Yeah. Well, and that was Strobel and Nancy Youssef and I forgot the other one, but three great McClatchy reporters together wrote that one, yeah. So I put my bucks there.
Yeah. McClatchy usually gets it right.
All right, now, well, let me start with a bigger, dumber question, and then we'll work toward the smaller, smarter ones. But, you know, I was talking with my friend Gareth Porter on the show yesterday, and he's my favorite.
And my friend, too.
Yeah. He's the guy that knows everything about everything to me.
Yeah, he really does.
And he debunks everything that the War Party says that's not true, which is everything that they say, and so yeah. He's very useful also on the show. But so when it comes to the big question of why, he says there is no why. It's all just stupid. And that's what you say in your article here today, too. And Gareth said on the show yesterday, from the smallest detail about tactics to a step above that to some sort of strategy, however you define those things, crazy military people, that they have no idea.
Gareth really understands about this stuff. From tactics to strategy to, you know, political objectives, We stick guys in these outposts and put them in vulnerable positions, which we shouldn't do. You know, it's like, I'll go up in the mountains and, you know, you send a platoon or something up there and go get yourself shot up. For what reason? I don't know. Go up in the mountains so high that the helicopters can't come up there to support you because they can't fly that high. We're propping up a regime that we know is so crooked. I mean, Karzai just stole two elections in a row. Our counterinsurgency strategy is based on a basic lie, which is that there's a partner government to a host nation government to that's worth backing up, which we don't have there. We don't have it in Iraq either. And I don't know. I'm just really disgusted that you can't read minds. But Obama made a really critical mistake as a candidate, talking about Afghanistan being the war of necessity and being and wanting to get the job done there. What job? There's, at this point, our best thing we can read is that there are maybe 100 Al-Qaeda operatives in Afghanistan and maybe 300 in Pakistan. And for that, we're going to send another 34,000 troops in there? What on earth?
Well, you know, here's the thing, too, is everybody has their theory, right, where they emphasize this or that. Some people say, well, you know, the Israelis are worried that Pakistani nukes will continue to exist. Somebody's got to take their nukes away, and so our interest is staying there until the crisis is bad enough we can take those nukes. Man, that's who's running the policy. And other people say, no, it's all about selling airplanes, man. It's all about selling F-22s or 35s, whichever politically connected contract wins out in that argument. And then other people say, no, dummy, it's all about the pipelines, because Houston wants that oil. And then other people say, no, it's all just strategy and expanding the footprint in order to check the power of Russia and China, don't you see? And basically, what Gareth is saying, I think, if I can paraphrase him, is that ultimately all of those things just amount to conspiracy theories. They all amount to ignorant people stabbing in the dark, looking yes. for a reasonable explanation that they can hang their hat on, when in fact there is not one. It's just generals killing people because that's their thing that they do.
Gareth is exactly right. Let's run through some numbers. It's hard to nail these down real accurately, but let's look militarily. What's our budget now? $680 million. That's what we claim to be spending on defense.
Oh, well, it's $1 trillion a year if you count all the VA and the maintenance of the nukes of the Department of Energy and all that.
We spend more on defense than the rest of the world combined. China and Russia each spend about 10% as much on defense as we do. Iran spends about 1%, or less than 1% than we do. We have no peer competitors. And according to FAST, which, what does that stand for? Federation of American Scientists.
Right.
We and our Western allies account for more than 90% of the world's arms sales. So, what are we doing? What are we doing? And the people we're fighting now, the quote-unquote Taliban, they have no defense budgets whatsoever.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have AK-47s, and they still are winning.
Yeah.
Well, so,
Muhammad on the
I don't get it. I mean, look, people created the empire for a reason, and there's an empire, but I guess you're just saying that the sharp edge of the empire is the heaviest part of it and leads it all, and there's the rest of those things. Houston doesn't matter, and Russia and China aren't part of it, really. It all just comes down to there are people fighting us, and so we have to fight them and just continue on. And,
yeah, and people are fighting us because we're in their backyard.
Yeah, but never mind that. I mean, they're fighting us, so we just have to fight them. That's it? I mean, come on. There's got to be a reasonable explanation in here somewhere. I mean, not one that any of us would agree with, but one that is some sort of explanation other than just generals like having their job and using it or whatever, you know? I don't know.
Well, I think that generals like having their job and using it is about 90% of the problem.
Yeah, well...
You know, I've always said, I've never met a guy with stars on his collar that I wanted to meet again.
Well,
so
more from Great Speeches and Interviews after these messages.